Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially I'll read verses 8 and 9. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. This is the text. This is a very strange parable indeed. And by the way, since there are certain things that I have to go very carefully through, I'm not immediately stepping out into the center here, okay? So, the parable starts with the unrighteous steward, and so the world starts. Adam and Eve. The first and the original unrighteous human stewards of God's gifts. And you pause and you think, what did Adam and Eve have? And what did they do with what they had? What they had was paradise, Garden of Eden, every good blessing that God could put together in that place and that setting. They had the words of God blessing them. And the Lord blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion and so on and so on. So they had all of these things. They also had the friendship and the relationship with God. They had God coming and walking in the garden in the cool of the day to spend time with them. They had the Sabbath day and that fellowship with God. They had angels watching over them, and they had the promise of living forever. So out of all that they had, what did they do? They wanted more. Curved in on themselves, they said, I want this one thing that God has said, leave it be. Unrighteous stewards. Being unrighteous stewards, then what happens? They lose everything that they have. They lose the garden, they lose the fellowship with God, they lose living forever, they lose righteousness, they lose paradise, they lose all of the blessings, and the world ends up being an absolute mess. Okay. How does that apply to us? Well, Jesus talks about unrighteous wealth. The older phrase for it is the mammon of unrighteousness, which, yeah, wealth is a better translation, but mammon has that ring to it, and we know what that's about. It's the stuff of this life and the stuff that we want and the stuff that gets in the way of our relationship with God. But the unrighteous wealth, let's bring it home right to us. And this follows the pattern of Martin Luther, who says that everything that we have in this life is unrighteous wealth. We still have it. We have forfeited it. The reason it is lost to us now, or will be lost in not too many years, is because of our breaking of our relationship with God, because of sin, because we walked out on God, and it's not just Adam and Eve. The finger points to us. And we have been guilty. So we find the sentence on turning away from God, the sentence on unrighteous stewardship being carried out in our lives thousands and thousands of little ways that it happens where things go wrong and the blessings are not as rich as they would have been but for the fall into sin. So, we have money problems, family problems, relationship problems, problems of sin that hangs on and hangs on, things that we cannot get rid of in our lives, things that we cannot get to in our lives in terms of relationship with God and being right with God. We have bodies that are breaking down in so many different ways, and it just runs through every part of life. The sentence is being carried out upon us. What are we then to do with it? In the parable, the master and plugging in the parts of the parable that would be God commends the unrighteous steward, that would be the human being that is actually wise in spiritual things, for his shrewdness. The parable just got even stranger, didn't it? But now comes the application and the lesson. What are we to do with this mammon of unrighteousness, these days and hours and moments, these skills and abilities, these possessions and relationships that we still have in this life? Well, use them to make provision for when they fail. Use them in service of one who does not fail, one who is eternal. Use them in a relationship with God. Yes, every part of this life that we have is unrighteous in the eyes of God. But we are given the gift from God of the time in our life that the sentence against our sin was not executed immediately and right away, that we are still alive and breathing and we have days and we have hours and we have years ahead of us to live our lives in a relationship with God, so that when the things of this life fail and they are gone, and they will be gone, that there actually is something that is there for us, namely eternal life in a relationship with God. That's a paradox, that everything is lost, but still we are given the gift of all those lost things, and we are told to use what we have lost, use it wisely. And that comes to a first part of a summary, a saying that a fellow I know of, never met him, but a fellow I know of by the name of Jim Elliot. He said this as he traveled through southern Illinois raising money for a mission trip that he and four others were going to take down to South America. And they were going on a mission trip because they had heard of a tribe back in the hinterlands, way in the woods, and they were going to go and bring the gospel to that group. And the saying that he shared with all kinds of people down south rings very powerfully through the years because of the end of the story. And I'll tell you the middle part of the story before I tell you the saying. The middle part of the story is that he and those four others, well, they got the money for their mission trip, and they headed to South America, and they went back into the Amazon, and they made contact with the tribe, and the tribe treated them with suspicion and hostility. And about the first day they were there, the members of the tribe came out with spears and killed them. And he died without ever getting to actually verbally share the gospel message. Now, before I tell you the end of the story, I'm going to tell you the saying. He is quoted as saying over and over again, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what can never be lost." That puts life in perspective, doesn't it? Who gives up what he cannot keep, what would that be? Well, every part of what we have in this life, isn't it? Who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what can never be lost. And what can never be lost is eternal life. An eternity of a relationship with God. And now the end of the story. His wife and some others picked up where he left off, and they headed south to South America. And they went and they made contact with the tribe. And the tribe found out that they were the spouses of those that they had murdered. And they acted with hostility and with suspicion and with fear and hung back and avoided them and avoided them and avoided them. But these spouses, they learned the language and they began to tell the gospel story until one day the members of that tribe came to them and said that they were guilty of murdering their husbands, that they, however, had heard and seen how these folks had lived, and they had been confused at first why they didn't call some magic down upon the tribe and get vengeance. And then they'd heard the gospel. And now they, as a whole tribe, wanted to be Christians. They came to faith. They were baptized. They are Christians. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what can never be lost. And that simply is an echo, a mirror, a picture of something that is so deep and so profound that it runs right to the heart of everything that we believe. Because we started talking about those first unrighteous stewards and what they had done with the things that they had been given, those wondrous gifts. But then there is the righteous steward who had even more, who had eternal life and eternity, who had heaven, who had all the wealth of the world, all the time of eternity, all the power that could be imagined. And what did he do? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, and being found in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And the giving up of the throne of heaven, the giving up of the angel choirs, the giving up of the blessings and the joys and all of what was his in order to pursue something that's his stewardship, his management of what was given to him. And all of a sudden, that stewardship, that pattern, that laying down of everything becomes what is in the center of all of human history, what is held up before the entire world, what calls every man, woman, and child and draws us to him, that becomes this irresistible vision of who Jesus is and what his love is about and what his work of salvation is from beginning to end. Spending everything, and spending it on what? On you. On your life, on your soul. Giving up what is his in order to gain what? In order to gain us to be with him forever. That eternal joy of having you living forever and being in a relationship with you, so that it is not just in the cool of the morning on one day, but it is every hour of every day, of every year, for all eternity, that he will spend with us. Freely gave up everything for us. It is that vision that calls us into what the world does not understand, what the world cannot seem to comprehend. Acts of Christian faith, acts of devotion, and where we cannot feed and clothe Jesus, we end up feeding and clothing those who are made in the image of God, who share that human nature with us and with Jesus Christ. And he talks about this in Matthew 25. As you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. So the Christian life and the Christian faith ends up. We are called before the cross. We come singing the praises of Christ, the crucified and risen. And as we sing his praises, then he turns us around and sends us out into the world to love our neighbor, to forgive, because we've been given that amazing gift of forgiveness, and why should we not give that to others? And this lesson of Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his love sets a pattern for lives of Christian love, that then Jesus takes and he turns that into his own witness to the world. And what an amazing thing that this this mammon of unrighteousness, this unrighteous wealth of every bit of our lives is then turned to the service of God and His kingdom and becomes part of the plan of God. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's how Paul finishes, and that's a good place to say Amen. Amen.